Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
So when God wants to heal you, it's not just for you. And I know there's a lot of us that we have a high pain tolerance. A lot of us wear that as a badge that, oh, I can deal with the pain. No, God doesn't want you to deal with the pain. The pain's been dealt with already. He wants you to receive the healing so that what you are healed from, now that you can turn around and you can help somebody be healed from as well, God gives you the ministry in. This is a declaration that I am healed or healthy, whole, and healed. This is a declaration that we need to be making every day of our lives. We need to speak to our bodies when our bodies aren't lined up with the Word of God. We need to speak to our minds. I don't know about you, but sometimes my mind doesn't line up with the Word of God, and I've got to lay hands on myself, praise God. And I've got to declare that I have the mind of Christ, that I'm wearing the helmet of salvation that protects me and my thoughts to help me think God thoughts and faith thoughts and word thoughts. Not just to be healthy in our body and our mind, but spiritual health is a thing. Spiritual health is a thing. You say, well, once I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, that's all. Oh, the Bible says building yourself up, praying in the Holy Ghost, meaning this, that your spirit health, your spiritual health is just like a physical health, that it's going to take daily maintenance. It's going to take you praying in the Spirit. I was met by one of our leaders right before church, and she said there was a woman who came to Living Way this past Sunday, and I met her after the service, and she was so excited that she found Living Way because she had been told by other churches that she can't speak in tongues at those churches. Well, welcome home, young lady. You're in the right church today, because not only will we let you speak in tongues, we believe every believer should speak in tongues, and this is a house where we want to operate in that gift all the time. Why? Because speaking in tongues is a sign of spiritual health. It's building us up, being spiritually healthy, being emotionally healthy. Some of us can't make faith decisions because we make decisions that are ruled by our emotions. And I'm not talking about a female or a male thing, because the men will look at the women and say, oh, you're too emotional. But we say that because sometimes they get a little weepy or they cry about things. But men, you're ruled by emotions too, because you get mad and make emotions. They might shed tears, but you put your fist through the drywall. That's an emotional, unhealthy response. So we need to be healthy in our emotions, health in relationships. Healthy relationships. You can't be healthy on a Sunday for an hour and a half or a Wednesday for an hour and a half, yet be unhealthy in every relationship that God has blessed you with. How many times have we come to an altar to pray about a relationship that God wants to heal and God has given the power to heal and God has already made a way to heal, but because of our unhealthy responses in those relationships, they are in turn unhealthy. And so these are declarations that we need to make every day. In this series, we'll talk about what the Bible says about healing, and the Bible is complete and replete with healing. Verse after healing verse, Old Testament, New Testament, prophetic voices, the voice, the red letters of what Jesus said, the New Testament epistles that Paul wrote and John wrote, they are complete with healing, and we'll dive into those, but we will talk about all of the different kinds of health that we can. We'll talk about how to receive healing. You know, I believe that you can be made whole and healed just by sitting in a church service like this. There's a gentleman that comes on Sunday mornings that sits on this side of the building that first few times he came to Living Way, he was dealing with something, and he said, while the sermon was being preached in the old building next door, that God touched his body while the sermon was being preached. Nobody laid hands on him. He didn't respond to him, but just being in a place full of the presence of the Lord, it brought healing to him. And so you can receive your healing by proxy, but there are some steps that you and I can do to make healing not a prayer, but a reality in our lives. And then once you receive healing, we must learn how to walk in healing. Once we receive healing, we must learn how to walk in healing. I know a lot of people who have been delivered, but they don't know how to walk in deliverance. There are many people that I believe are delivered from drug addiction and sexual perversion and lascivious living and all of the things that separate us from the things of God and separate us ultimately from Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, it's not just coming and praying a prayer in an altar. It is walking this thing out each and every day of your life. It's what we would call discipleship, learning how to follow Jesus. You met him at an altar, but learning how to follow Jesus through these double doors and into your car and back into your situation. And let me just be the bearer of good news. You might think it's bad news, but it's good news. Sometimes God doesn't change your situation. Sometimes God changes you so that he can send you back into your situation and change it. So sometimes God doesn't deliver you to a delivered situation or healed you to a healthy situation. Sometimes God heals and delivers you in a moment and then sends you back to the city, sends you back to the family, sends you back to the situation to bring healing, health, and deliverance. In 2023, this is a staggering number that I hardly ever use this number. In 2023, $4.5 trillion. That's with a T. That's a lot of zeros. $4.5 trillion was spent on health and health care in this nation. $4.5 trillion. And yet we are the unhealthiest we have ever been. And I'm not talking about we eat too many Snickers bars, which we do. And I'm not saying we fill our stomachs with garbage. We do. I'm talking about we are the most unhealthiest in every metric you can use to measure. We are the most educated nation we have ever been, yet we are still the most unhealthiest. We have more churches on corners. We have more church services. We hear more sermons preached. We have more Christian podcasters and influencers than we have ever had, yet we are still some of the most unhealthiest we have ever been since this earth was created. Why is that? And I think that it can be a lot of different things that we can point to, church, but I think that we are unhealthy because our culture has become so toxic, and I believe that people have become so comfortable living with and around toxic things that are slowly making us unhealthy and injuring us and changing the way that we live. We have become comfortable, church, in staying in the environments that have hurt us. While I was studying for this last couple weeks, I looked up because as I begin to think about toxic cultures and toxic environments, I begin to think about the biggest nuclear and the biggest radiation spots in all of the world where nuclear reactors have failed, or earthquakes and tsunamis or wars have caused. And there has been millions of people who have died because they did not know that there was a level of radiation where they were living that was slowly killing them. If you watch TV during the day or late at night, you will see commercials saying, if you ever lived here, or if you ever worked on this railroad, or if you ever did this and you've ever experienced this symptoms, you could be part of a class action lawsuit. Meaning this, that sometimes you are unaware of how toxic the culture is and what it is doing to you and your walk with God and your faith in God and your family and your marriage. And sometimes by the time we realize it, it's too late. I encourage you, this is not I'm not trying to get you to go to my doctor. I'm just telling you that I believe in wisdom and I believe in miracles. But I believe every once a year you should go to your doctor and you should get as many tests as they'll run on you. It's something that I do. It's something my family does. And the reason we do that is because of the medical, where we are in the medical marvels of 2024. And remember that God is the great physician, but he can still use physicians in these health clinics and hospitals, that I believe if we catch it soon enough, anything can be reversed in Jesus' name. But I believe that a lot of times when we talk about physical health, we look past spiritual things in our life. But I want to tell you that we can't live at Living Way Church. We are not monks. This is not a monastery. God is bringing us into here on Wednesday and Sundays and Thursday nights and Friday mornings for miniature boot camps, because there's a world out there that needs what we have. But can I tell you that it is hard to help people if you're still bleeding? It is hard to help people if you're still hurting. It is hard to help people overcome or step into their future if you are still carrying things from your past. And so you've got to realize in a toxic culture, you need Jesus, and you don't need Jesus as only your Savior. You need Jesus as your healer, so you can make sure that you are bringing people into a reality that you and I ourselves are living. What do we become comfortable with? There's four things that we can focus in. I believe that too many people are comfortable with hurt. There's a lot of us that you and I, we've hit an age, 50, 60 years of age, 40 years of age, where you say, well, these pains, that's just a part of life. No, it's not. Your back hurting because you're 50 and you work manual labor for 40, 30, 35 years, that should not be a cross you have to bear for the rest of your life. The same spiritually. You can't come from a broken home and just say, well, that's all I know, and so I'm having problems with my marriage and I'm having problems with my kids. Don't rob your kids of health just because you weren't raised in a healthy environment. Might I remind you that we know Jesus Christ and you are a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. We have become comfortable with hurt. We have become comfortable with pain. I was talking to my doctor a couple years ago and he said, I walked into his office and it was not a well check. It was because something was going on, and he said, where does it hurt? And I said, well, beyond the normal places. He goes, there's not supposed to be normal places. He said, you're not supposed to have pain all the time. And see, what I've learned, church, is that there is a process for your pain, and that you and I can grow from the things that we walk through and the valleys that we walk through. But just like valleys you're not called to live in, you are not called to live in a season or an extended amount of time where you are dealing with pain. You are supposed to go through those pains, overcome those pains. Those pains provide scars, which are your testimonies. There's a difference between pains from injury and growing pain. Growing pain is not even P-A-I-N, it's growing pain, P-A-N-G. Growing pain now is acceptable because we've talked about it so much that they put it in the dictionary. But there's a difference between growing pain, P-A-N-G, and hurting from an injury. They both hurt, but one hurt is because you're growing. One hurt is because you've been injured and you have gone through something. Can I just encourage you, if you are going to hurt, you better hurt with purpose. If you are going to hurt, you better hurt and grow out of that hurt. Don't let that hurt stay there. Don't let that pain stay longer than it needs to teach you how to trust in God and receive your miracle. Well, this is just my cross to bear. No, it is not. God wants to heal you 100% complete and totally. Some of us have been comfortable with blood. We become comfortable with the blood of culture. How many of you, blood makes you queasy? Just raise your hand. How many of you will pass out if you see blood? Amen. Somebody, amen. All right. We've become comfortable. I'll tell you what's one of the reasons: movies, TV shows, video games. What 30 years ago made us uncomfortable, we have been around it so much that we've become very comfortable with blood. There's only one blood that I should be comfortable with, and that is the blood of Jesus. However, even when I went to go see the Passion movie in theaters, that wasn't even a great view of how it really was. But that made me uncomfortable. We cannot be so comfortable with blood that we don't get down to the reason that we are bleeding and make sure that we get the bleeding stopped. And then we have become comfortable. I'll preach this until the day I die. We've become comfortable with symptom solutions. You know why I don't enjoy most counseling sessions? Most people want a solution for the symptom, not for the source. They want to walk out of the office in that session feeling better about themselves, when a lot of times if you would take real counsel from the Word of God and from the Spirit of God, you're not going to feel better about yourself until you avail yourself to Jesus Christ and let Him do His perfect work in you. And remember, sometimes His perfect work is surgery, and surgery's not fun. Surgery doesn't feel good. Surgery sometimes cuts you. Surgery sometimes makes you uncomfortable. Surgery sometimes makes you bleed. But at the end of a surgery, they sew you up and you are better after surgery than you were going in. I want to encourage somebody, let's quit dealing with the symptoms and let's get started with the source and get healed from whatever we are ailing with. It is God's will to heal. Let's go to the Word of God, Luke chapter 9, verse 1. This is where we will stay for the rest of tonight's session. Luke chapter 9, verse 1, I'm reading it in the New Living Translation. One day Jesus called together His 12 disciples. Who did He call together? His 12 what? Church members, church attenders, CEM Christians, the people that just want something, the people that are broke, the people that are unhealthy, the disciples. He called the 12 disciplined followers. I know I'm talking to the right crowd tonight. Because on a Wednesday night, if you're at Living Way, you are a disciplined follower of Jesus, most likely. Because you could have said, it can wait till Sunday. I've had a long day. I've been through this. I'm going through this. I'm bleeding. I'm hurt. I'm injured. But you said, no, I'm a disciplined follower of Jesus. So in this moment, Jesus calls the 12 disciplined followers of Jesus. This is why Luke chapter 9 verses 1 through 6 is going to be revelatory for a lot of people in this room. And this is where I started off talking about bad theology on social media. Do you know that there are churches in our city and around the world that preach Jesus crucified, preach His blood, preach the cross, preach the resurrection, but do not believe that we live in a dispensation that God still heals? They believe that, now listen to this, they believe that God rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, but that He can't heal your cancer. That's the God that they preach and believe in. The trouble is, you got to me too late, because I have seen His healing hand. I've encountered His healing. His healing flows from the cross and from the blood that was shed on the cross. And that blood is still powerful today. And you cannot talk me out of something that has already happened. And so it's very simple. If you don't think God can heal you, then God won't heal you. But if you believe that healing and health and wholeness is a gift from God that was paid for on the cross, and remember, we're talking about every different kind of healing you can think of. If you realize that healing came from Jesus, it is going to revolutionize every part of your life. Let's go a little deeper. One day Jesus called together His 12 disciples, and what did He do? He gave them two things, power and authority. Now you've heard me preach about for and from, that we always talk about, I'm believing for a miracle. I'm believing for God to do something. We're not believing for, we're believing from. We're believing from a place of victory. We're believing from a thing, a deed, an event, a power that has already been unleashed. Both Isaiah and Peter both talk about the cross. One says, by your stripes we are healed. That's in the Old Testament. Peter is not looking to the cross. He's looking behind him at the cross, and he says, by your stripes we were healed. It has already happened. Therefore, I am not praying for God to do something. I am praying from a place of faith that it has already been done. And now all I need is the manifestation to show up in my body, my mind, my relationships, my spirit. He gave them the power and authority. When you can't get to the church, you've got the power and authority, and you are the church. When pastors won't pick up the phone or return your message, you are the church. You have just as much power and authority. He gave to the 12 disciples power and authority, and He gave them the power and authority to do two things. What does the Word of God says? He gave them the power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. This is where theology has to come from God's word and not from imperfect men. Let's go to verse 2. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He sent us as disciplined followers, as his disciples, gives us power and authority. Power is the ability. Authority is the jurisdiction. That it's not my power, it is his power, and I am acting on behalf of God. I am speaking his word. After we have been endued with power and authority, he says, I now want you to go out and I want you to preach the kingdom of God. I want you to tell the gospel. I want you to tell them the good news. And I want you to heal the sick. Here is the crux in the verse that I would ask every preacher that does not believe in healing. Why is it we still preach kingdom, but we can't heal? When that's what he sent us to do. If he doesn't heal, then retire from your church because we don't need preachers. If he doesn't want us to be whole and you don't believe that we can literally receive the power of God manifested in our bodies and through us into any situation that is unhealthy to make it what God has called it to be, then we don't need pastors, we don't need preachers, we don't need your church, and you need to go get a job at Walmart because you're being paid for a job that no longer exists. You can't have one without the other. What it really comes down to is they believed in healing, it didn't happen, and now they don't believe in it because it didn't happen. A lot of times when we aren't healed, we blame God. You can't blame God because he called the disciples together and gave them the power and authority. If I don't get healed, it's not God's fault. It's not your fault. It's my fault. Oh, see, that's good preaching there. That's not a rah-rah spot, right? Because we want to blame it on everything else. He said he gave them power and authority to cast out all demons, to heal diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everybody about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Then he says this in verse 3, do not take anything. Take nothing for your journey. He instructed them, don't take a walking stick. Don't take a traveler's bag. Don't take food. Don't take money or even a change of clothes. He said, what I've called you to do doesn't require anything that you can carry with you. But it requires something that you have to carry in you. I love this. He said, I need you to leave and preach and heal with the power and authority that I've given you. But he said, I don't want you to take anything because I never want it to be about you. I want you leaning on my power every time you preach the word. I want you leaning on my grace and my authority every time you lay hands on the sick and you expect them to recover. Listen, when our pastoral team and our prayer team in this altar lays hands on you, you need to forget about the person praying for you and realize that we're just adding our faith in agreement, but it is the God of the universe that created and sent his only son to save us that is touching you. I'm talking to unhealthy people. God wants you healed, healthy, and whole tonight. God wants this series to open up a revelation of who you are and what God has given you. If you are a believer, God is calling you close. That's why prayer is important, because God is calling you close to give you power and authority to preach the kingdom and to heal the sick. Here we go to verse 4. Verse 4, 5, and 6 says this. They're going to get it. There it is. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. And if a town refuses to welcome you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. This is hard to preach, y'all. He said, if you walk up to somebody and you preach kingdom and they don't accept it, or you preach healing and health and they don't receive it, they say, oh, God doesn't heal. He said, shake the dust. He said, don't even take the dust from a house that houses somebody that thinks like that into your future. He said, leave them in your dust, because you've got a plan, you've got a purpose, you've got an assignment called healing and health and authority that you carry with you. That is why you should never be concerned when people do not understand God's call for your life, what God has promised you. And listen, if you are unhealthy and God has promised you health and God has promised you healing, don't feel bad when other people don't buy into what God has already said. God didn't check their faith, God checks your faith. God didn't ask their permission, God has given you and I authority. Verse 6, so they began their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. You know what I love about this entire six verses? Is Jesus could have dealt with anything. But what did he deal with? He dealt with spiritual possession and oppression, devils, and he dealt with sickness. Here's the thing. He could have dealt with 50 other things. But as I sat and I prayed and I typed this message, the more that I tried to come up with something, I could not find one thing that does not fall under demonic oppression and possession and unhealthiness or a lack of health. You say, what about depression? That's a sickness of the head and the spirit. You need to be healed. What about anxiety? Sickness in your mind. See, depression is when the past and the present becomes too much for you to bear. Anxiety is when the present and the future becomes too much for you to bear. And at the end of the day, if they're making you feel some sort of way that is ungodlike or unchristlike, it is an issue that you need healing to be brought into. Say, I wish I just had joy. That's sickness. A lot of times you're not sick because of somebody cutting you. Sometimes we're sick because of lack of a deficiency of certain vitamins in our life. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is a vitamin that I take in my life. It is nothing I did. It is His strength, which means He did it, He paid for it, and I can rest in His joy even when the happenings, even when the culture is toxic, even when things are not going right, I can be healed in an unhealthy environment. It all comes down to a lack of health or the enemy at work in our life. So Jesus to the 12 said, come close. Isn't that what we do every Wednesday night and Sunday morning? Come close. And I've never thought about it until I was thinking about the direction and the altar response today. Jesus stood, preached the greatest sermon that had ever been preached, called the Sermon on the Mount. 20,000 people are in attendance. Pastor Becky, as I believe, has stood in that valley, in that place where the Sermon on the Mount was preached. And archaeologists and scientists say that Jesus, where Jesus was thought to stand, that his voice could carry by just speaking because of how the mountains are and how the land lays. So Jesus is talking to 20,000 people. A lot of them loved Jesus. A lot of them were intrigued by his message. A lot of them were sick. A lot of them were demon-possessed. But at the end of the 5,000, only 12 follow him. And then Jesus goes a little deeper. Now, out of those 12, God tells 9 of them to stay behind, and he always takes that smaller group, James, John, and Peter, he takes them a little further than he did the other 9. And I was thinking about our services at Living Way. We've got 2.5 million people within 50 miles of where we sit tonight. And on Wednesday, we're saying, hey, Jesus wants to tell you something. Come let Jesus speak into your life. And the thousands show up each week. And then it doesn't end with the thousands, because on Wednesday, Jesus says, all right, disciples, I need you to show back up Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. See, that's who you are. You're the 12. All those others, they came to see the show. They even ate a piece of bread, but they didn't realize they were eating bread. But the one standing, asking them to follow him, he said, I am the bread of life. And then at the end of every service, we open these altars. These altars are for the James, Johns, and Peters. You showed up, but let's come a little closer. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen tonight as we open this altar, standing on your feet all over the room tonight. When you come to this altar tonight, it's Luke chapter 9, verse 1 in action. Not Brandon, not Living Way, but Jesus is calling you close. And he has two things that he wants to give you, because he has two things that he needs from you. He said, the things I'm going to give you is power and authority. I'm going to give you power and authority to preach and to heal. Or in some cases, to hear and to receive. But as this altar is open and people are joining us in this altar tonight, I don't need you to be contemplating. I wonder what they're dealing with. I wonder what sickness they have. I wonder if it's a mental thing, a physical thing, a spiritual thing. That's none of our business. That is between them and God. But I have come to tell everyone in this altar, look at it as it fills up tonight, that the healer is in the room and he is ready to touch your mind. He is ready to touch your body. He's ready to touch your money. He is ready to touch your family, touch your kids, touch your marriage. He is calling you close, saying, come to me, my disciples. He said, I've got a power and authority that I'm not going to loan it to you. I'm going to give it to you, praise God. And this power and authority I give you, it is to do two things. It is to preach the gospel, the life transforming word. But it is to unleash healing in every capacity that it is needed. In every capacity that it is needed. I prayed with a family before church because of anxiety and panic attacks. And I told them, I said, oh, let's pray right now. We grabbed hands and we prayed before service. And then I said, we're gonna start a new series tonight, and God knows exactly what you need to hear, because we're starting one on healing. And it's not just a healing from cancer. It could be, but it can be a healing in your spirit and in your mind. Anxiety has no place in a believer. Anxiety is not going to rob you from sleep and from vision and from what God has called you to have. I'm talking to somebody in this altar, somebody in this room, and somebody watching online tonight. It is time that God brings you close so that you can receive the power and authority to preach and to heal, or to hear what is preached and to receive that healing. By the time we get through with this series, you will be healed, healthy, and whole, and God will be using you as a vessel to bring healing to those that God has put in your sphere of influence. I'm going to ask our pastoral team to get that anointing oil and begin to lay hands. If you need a specific healing, catch them as they come by. It is not our job to get involved in your business, but it is our job to unleash the power of God into your business and into your life. And whatever is ailing you, mind, body, spirit, we want God's healing power to work in the name of Jesus. So if you're in this altar, lift both hands, and I want you to begin to declare, I am healed. I am healthy. I am whole. God, you've given me power and authority to receive what you have already paid for on the cross. My body is lining up with your word. My mind, my brain is coming into line with your word. My family, healing from the past, healing from the present, healing from what's going on right now, God. Release it in Jesus' name. By your stripes, I am made whole. By your stripes, it has already been done. Before I step off to join my faith, with those in this altar and our leaders, I want to encourage those of you in the room tonight, if you don't know Jesus, salvation is a form of healing. Salvation, all the ramifications and the way that sin has ravaged your life, salvation brings healing into those places. Your heart needs healing. That's why Jesus becomes the Lord of our heart, the Savior of our life. If you don't know Jesus, this is your moment. If you're watching online tonight, on the other side of this red dot, I promise you that Jesus loves you enough and has given his life. He wants to save you as you are tonight. Don't wait to get perfect. Let Jesus save you, to clean you up and to heal you. Call on his name right where you are. Salvation's coming to you in your house. Salvation's coming to those in this house that need it. If you want to be baptized, let's make that happen tonight. We have seen a wave of baptisms over the last few weeks. Dozens and dozens and dozens. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, let's make that happen tonight. Don't wait for Sunday. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is another way to receive that power.